Hi there, this is Angela Middleton and welcome to my podcast, I Want to BA, where I interview high flyers from all industries to find out their journey, how they came to do what they do, what it's like to do their job, and then their advice for listeners wanting to follow in their footsteps. In this series, we cover everything from traditional careers such as accountancy through to the less traditional careers and future industries such as digital marketing and digital publishing. Today I have the lovely Rosalind Wilson with me in the studio. I met Ros 5 years ago. We were on a program with Goldman Sachs, which they run for 10,000 small businesses. And she and I, amongst 26 other people, went on quite a journey together where we learned lots of sort of new business concepts and new strategies to take our businesses forward. And it's been lovely for me to have this friendship with Ros and to watch her develop her already successful business at that time through to something now which is really quite phenomenal. It's an interior design business which services high-end clients for very large projects. And Ros is interesting because she came from Cape Town in South Africa, and she told me that she came from a broken home at the age of 17, where she was asked suddenly to leave home with her sisters and really flung into independence, had to find a flat, take two jobs, one of which was a night job, you know, quite a scary part of town where there were gunshots at night and things like that, all the way through to where she is now. So very, very successful businesswoman. So we're going to talk today not just about the world of interior design, but also about being an entrepreneur, setting up and establishing and then running a successful business, and different things that business can lead to. And also she's got some really great tips on how to get ahead and to make things happen. So Ros, thank you so much for joining us. Really lovely to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here, Angela. Thank you for asking me.
So if we can start with just a summary really of your journey from when you were at school through to starting your own business. I know it's quite a journey, and actually not just in terms of career but also geography as well.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I feel like I'd need several hours for that, but I'm going to condense it into a few minutes, so that's good. So I went to school in Cape Town. I'm from Cape Town. I went to a small little intimate school called Rosebank Junior, and there I worked very hard. I then went on to a high school in South Africa as well, which was Rustenburg Girls High School.
So in terms of school, tell us a bit about how you were at school, whether you enjoyed it, were you academic?
Okay, so I loved school. I adored school because firstly, it was a place where you had all your friends. I worked very hard. I was the perfect student, to be honest. I gave 2,000% to everything I did. And the teachers loved me as well because I was like a little doll, as in really small, really petite, worked hard, diligent, did whatever they said, excelled in everything. And that really worked for me in terms of being completely happy and balanced. And as a result, I'm actually naturally a competitive person as well. So I wanted to excel. So I did really good academically, ended up being head girl, captain of the netball team and captain of the tennis team. And I represented Western Province in tennis. And it was ridiculous. It was like a little robot.
And it's amazing, actually, because we had a little chat about this beforehand. And you explained to me that it was quite opposite to that when you were at home, that you had some sort of challenges, didn't you?
Yeah, so I think that's probably why I ended up working so hard, because at home life was a bit difficult. My parents got divorced and remarried, separated, divorced and remarried. So home life was quite volatile. And as a result, it was tricky. There was a lot of tension. There were some arguments. And, you know, I've got a twin sister and an older sister. And the good thing about having a twin sister is that you have a best friend. My older sister perhaps is a little bit more impacted by the environment. But subconsciously or consciously, I just decided I wanted to change that. I wanted a different environment. I wanted a different future for myself. And I worked very hard.
And it shows that you needn't be a product of sort of challenges and problems at home, because you actually took the opposite route, didn't you? And as you said, you know, it excelled at school because you sort of made it perfect for yourself there.
Well, you want a perfect environment. You want to be happy. So you do what you can. I think you just gravitate towards what's going to be happy for you and you go and find it.
So you carried on at school, you were saying, until 17. And then what happened?
So after school, my mom actually asked us to leave. She actually asked us to please leave home when we were 17, my sister and I. And it was a shock to us because you don't expect that. You're in your school holidays, you've ended school, everyone's gone off to their gap year, or their fun and holidays. You're at home and you get a phone call from your mom at the office, and you need to be out in 2 weeks.
Unbelievable.
And we were quite astounded, I remember. So at that time, my mom had got us a job working at her company. And that's because we needed to earn money. Financially, my mom was struggling, and there were three of us at home, so hence probably why she made the decision. And so we were working, but that's not enough money to pay rent and get by. Mm. So we knew I needed to get another job. And I started working in a company called Maester Directories, which is equivalent to the telephone directories. It was a complete admin job. I used to look at the advertisement sizes and check all the details on all the advertising contracts. I didn't like it. It was boring. I thought my skills were wasted. I thought I was better than this. But I said to myself, I need to get experience. I need money to get by.
And had you moved out of home
I'd moved out of home. So yeah. My sisters and I got an apartment in a suburb in Cape Town.
So it must have been an absolute shock for you to to leave school like that, get a job, start paying for everything. And then you were saying that the day job, not only was it boring, but it wasn't paying you enough money to cover everything. So you had to...
Two jobs.
Do two jobs. So tell us about the other one.
I mean, the one was working as customer services. What we were basically doing, what I was doing, was arranging people who had spent on their accounts to make financial payment arrangements because they couldn't afford what they had purchased. So you had goals, very tricky because I was terrified. I mean, I had no experience in the real world talking to people, and now I'm suddenly asking them, demanding that they pay by a certain amount of time. So it teaches you to get results, to not be afraid.
And you were also afraid because of the logistics as well of doing the night job, weren't you?
Yeah, so I had to catch the train. Anybody that comes from South Africa will know that I caught the night train out. The stations from Cape Town to Rondebosch, some of them are quite dodgy. And I remember sitting on the train at 8 o'clock or maybe 8:30, and there were gunshots. And I knew in my car, there was no one except me and one other person. It was many years ago. It was in the 90s. So I still wore high-heel shoes and a little skirt and jacket to work. I remember the color exactly because it was such a defining moment. And I was terrified. Mm. Terrified. From that, I got anxiety, stress, fear. It was horrible.
Yeah. And as we'll go on to hear, you know, these things didn't hold you back. And what people can't obviously see, because this is a podcast, is that you are, you know, a lovely, tiny little lady, a tiny little stature. And so I can just imagine you on that train in the middle of the night, age 17, you know, doing these two jobs. So obviously you made it inside very stern stuff, and, you know, you pulled on those sort of resources. So then what happened?
So then working after the two jobs, I gave up the night job. I couldn't do it any longer. And in my day job, I said, you know what, I'm going to be here for a year. I'm not going to do this any longer. And it was March. I remember almost a year to the day when my sister called me. She was working at a publishing company in Cape Town. She said, my boss wants to see you. There's a position here which I think is good for you. And I went and got the job. And that was great because now I was working with my sister, which was great. That repeats itself many years to come. But she was responsible for acquisition on subscriptions and myself retention. And that taught me how to lead a team. I had a team under me of about 6 to 8 people. Again, I was very young, so this was a lot of experience and very good experience. But I started to get itchy feet. There's always been a creative inside of me. And I started to think, what can I do that's going to... you know, pull me in that direction. Mm. So I left, the company was called Touchline Media. I left Touchline Media after 4 years, and I went to another company called SL Magazine. They actually publish a student magazine, and I asked my boss if there's any way I could get involved in the advertorials and if I could help in creating them. And so I got involved and I did some really good things. And at that time, I was also approached by an internal division to start up a new division within that company. So not only was I getting experience with regards to creativity, but also starting something from scratch,
were very much self-starter, because you sort of, as you say, you felt that you had this sort of creative spark inside you, but you sort of put yourself forward and you asked for these opportunities. They didn't just sort of appear in front of you.
Do you know what, Angela, you have to know what you want and you have to go for it. Because as small as I am, there's always been a fighter inside me, and I'm an incredibly shy person. I used to hide behind my parents when my grandparents used to say, come give me a hug and say hello. I used to go red when anybody used to speak to me. When I started at Maester Directories, I'd come from an all-girls high school, and when the men used to walk past the department, I used to look down and go, I don't know how, I never knew how to interact with people. I was incredibly shy.
But you pushed beyond that forward. Yeah. Also, what you decided was that you needed to get more qualifications, didn't you, at this point?
Yes, I've always had that drive to control my future and be better and do good and excel. And so I knew I always wanted to start my own business. So I studied a business management degree through UNISA in South Africa, which is the University of South Africa. I did that part-time while I was working full-time because I needed to pay my bills. And that went on for a while. And again, I gave it everything. I worked really hard to do well in this degree. And then at the same time, I thought, I know I want to be an interior designer. Because I had done so much research on creative careers, and I felt that I'd come from a broken home, I would like to have a good home, a sanctuary, a place of happiness. And I thought that makes sense to me. Design homes for people and give them that. Mm. And so I started to do an interior design diploma also through correspondence. So now I'm working full time. I'm studying this diploma, this interior design diploma, and I'm holding on a full-time job.
Wow. So you sure it's possible? I mean, how long does all of that take?
I think it took about 5 years in total.
I think what comes through when we talk is that you're very driven by, you know, setting your goals and being absolutely sure that that's what you're going to do and then just doing whatever you need to do.
So for UNISA, you'd set your modules for the year, you'd get your books. I would look at the syllabus and I'd go, right, every day I'm coming home and I'm doing 2 hours work. So I worked till I got home at about 6, had something to eat, 2 hours of work, go out or do whatever you're going to do. And that was that. And then the interior design, of course, put a little bit more pressure on top of that because you've got to study, plus you have to do creative work and designs. But I found a way to do it. And I did. I was the only one that got distinction in the interior design course. And I just found a way. It meant so much to me.
And I think that's key, is that when you have that real reason why, then, you know, you can do it and you will do it. Yeah. So I know then that you worked for a number of years and for different companies in South Africa, but you then decided that you were going to go to London a few years later.
Yes. So I did a bit of freelancing in South Africa and I worked for an interior designer for a few years, I think about 3 years. She was a one-man band and she put a lot of trust in me because it was a big decision for her to take on somebody. But it was a baptism by fire because she taught me everything I knew. From an all-round experience, I remember thinking, this is great, I'm learning a lot, but I wanted more. There's always more. It's bigger. And I thought London's the best way to go. I felt the industry in Cape Town, the creative industry is very difficult. The unemployment rate is high. And I'd always wanted to come to London. I'd traveled here in 2001. It was now 2005 that we came here. So to broaden the horizons, I found myself in London in August 2005. But before I got here, I had earmarked a list of three companies I wanted to work for because of their reputation. And one of them was a company called Helen Green Design. And so when I got to London, I interviewed, and you've got to be careful. You've always got to keep your eye on the goal because I got a job within the first few days at Smallbone, which is a kitchen design company. And I thought to myself, there is no way I want to be, you know, stereotyped into being a kitchen designer. That's not going to get me to the big picture goal.
It's very interesting, actually, because sometimes I talk to people and they talk about the twisty, turny nature. Yeah. You've made a really important point there, is not to be waylaid in a way, because sometimes, you know, when you're very competent and you're driven, as you clearly are, you get a lot of opportunities along the way, which are great on the one hand, but they can really distract you as well. So you stuck to your guns and you ended up getting an interview with one of your target companies.
Well, the first thing I did is I worked for a year at a property development company, and there I was an interior designer, worked with one architect and had about 50 projects on at any point in time of differing scales. And that was incredible because it taught me about this industry. A very interesting thing about that was in one of my first week there, my boss said to me, "You coming with me to a meeting?" We drove in the car. She had an automatic car. I drive manual. She got called away to another meeting at the time. She gave me the keys and said, "You're going to have to do this." And I'd never driven in London. I'd never driven an automatic. That's pretty easy, but not when you've never driven one. And you just have to do it. It's the same thing about your career. You have to take this chance and go with it, run with it. So again, I did that. I said, I love working at the company. The company was called Arbod, but I knew I wanted to get to my goal. So I said, I'm going to give myself a year. So 3 months before that year was up, I sent my CV off to Helen Green. They didn't have an opening, but I sent it off. They called me back. I got an interview and I got the job.
So I'm going to sort of fast forward you now, because we want to get to where you actually start your own business, because that was really your big goal, wasn't it?
That was always the big goal. I think it's always been my big goal since I was yay big, since I was very little. So I left Helen Green. I did a small stint at David Collins Studio because I thought he was a design guru. I admired and respected his work. I felt very skilled in prime residential, but he does hospitality work, and I wanted to know how to do some of that. I gave myself 6 months because that's what I felt I needed to. And 6 months, I took 8 months, and then I handed in my resignation. I said, I'm out. And that was a Friday, and on the 15th of February, 2010, I started my company, and I incorporated it on the 16th of February.
Amazing. And it sounds like it was so strategic up until that point. And I think, well, knowing you as I do, that you've then been very strategic about how you've developed your business as well. Tell us, first of all, before we talk about, you know, the challenges and the great things about running this business, tell us a little bit about the business itself, the types of clients and projects you do, etc.
So the business, we do top-end residential design focused within the core London area, but we've started to work on a number of projects outside London as well. We do primary and secondary residences, and our clients are really wonderful. They are based not only in London, but we've got clients in Malaysia, Spain, Kuwait, literally all over the world, and South Africa. They come to us via means of either referral now, because we've done the primary residences and often our clients have secondary residences. So word of mouth is a big channel for new projects. But we also have a very strong marketing department with regards to the social media channels. Mm. And so clients are now finding us through Instagram, which is wonderful.
And these projects aren't sort of just one room or one bathroom. You're talking sort of 2 year projects sometimes, aren't
you? Yeah. So I think the shortest it could possibly be is 6 months, but they go up to 2 years. Maybe sometimes a little bit longer, but 2 years is probably where they're at.
And this involves lots of structural work, engineering, architecture,
everything.
Like,
so we're interior architects, which means we are qualified to change the internal structure of your house, plus design everything in it. So bathrooms, kitchens, flooring, we can do anything inside. And then often the projects lead on to the furniture and soft furnishings. So we do the full turnkey for our clients.
So tell us a bit about the challenges that you face in the business. Mm.
So there are a number of challenges, because we're working with, on any one particular project, it starts at about 200 suppliers. You are at the mercy of other people and their schedules, but you have a very distinct or definite deadline. So it's hard to coordinate. It's challenging to coordinate that to the level you want, to the level of detail and attention to detail that you want within those clients' parameters. So you can find yourself tearing your hair out, screaming and shouting on one day, thinking it's all going to plan on the next day for it all to fall apart on the third. So, and all of this has to happen behind the scenes for the client. You just cannot let them know how hard you're working.
That actually applies to a lot of businesses, isn't it? That the clients are the least of your worries, really. It's sort of delivering all the service in the background, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what are some of the great things about the business?
So, you know what? I love meeting new people, because they are windows to the world. They bring their stories and their cultures and everything, and it's amazing. And I love that aspect together with the team, because work should be fun. And I like to have a laugh during the day and have a bit of fun, but at the same time take it very seriously with regards to meeting deadlines. So it's wonderful to feel that you can deliver, which I think is one of the most special things for a person, deliver a home for them, because it's a place of sanctuary. It's a place where you can reinvent yourself, you can hide from the world, you can relax and rejuvenate. Everything about you can be reflected in that space. Mm. So I think that's an amazing gift to give to somebody. And I think I love the industry I'm in. Love it.
There are other things that you've got in mind for this business, aren't there? If you tell us a bit about, the sorts of things that you think this can lead to.
Absolutely. I mean, getting to a point where you've passed the first few years of a business is one thing. And then you start to see the potential it can have. And you also start to know the potential you as a person can have, because you've already done this. As I said before, I like the intimate relationships we form with clients. And I want this business to remain to some degree intimate. So the ideas I have are quite intimate in themselves. They're smaller. I would like to start a florist. I think that's a brilliant or a great bridge from the interior design, because it's uplifting as well. It's inspirational. It's such a great environment to be in. But also things like, because I said earlier, your home is your sanctuary and it's a place of rejuvenation. And as we get older, we tend to need time to have downtime and relax and rejuvenate. things like or establishments like Soho House, where they've done Soho Farmhouse, which has an abundance of good materials and the sound of water and just beautifully designed. I think, you know, as an interior space alone, just being in a beautifully designed space that's using good organic materials can be quite rejuvenating. And I'd love for us to be able to branch in some sort of in that kind of direction, mm-hmm. where you can almost like a bit of a, almost like a, not a, a, very, a bit boutique kind of B&B, where you can just go and unwind and relax and everything can be beautifully designed. But also we want collaborations. I'm very into fabrics, very into fabrics. I love that fashion and interior design just follow each other. I find so much inspiration in the two. And I want us to be able to collaborate in some sense with whether it be fashion designers or fabric houses, just to satisfy my urge and this itch within me. There are so many routes that we can take. Mm. And I get excited.
And with what that demonstrates really is with business, it isn't just a case of building something, replicating, growing and doing more and more and more of the same thing, although it can be, some people love that idea. But also with a business, it can really take on all sorts of different dimensions and lead you into fields that maybe you didn't anticipate even.
Exactly, Angela. You know, when you start a business and you're considered an entrepreneur, you usually have it with some kind of idea and you're a risk taker already. If you've done one example, or shown yourself one example of being able to make it work, or just showing you can get there, the door can open to anything. Anybody can do anything anyway if you believe in yourself.
For those people that have been listening to you and they're interested in, number one, starting a business, number two, the whole world of interior design, or even both, what would be your recommendations to those people?
I think an apprenticeship is probably the best way, I would say, because in this industry, we touched on this earlier, there are low barriers to entry. And I think your attitude is going to be the first thing, and your determination and your enthusiasm. So I think the best way would be to try get some practical experience and give it everything you've got when you're obtaining that practical experience. Mm. We've also spoken about, in my industry, perhaps working on a building site. Go volunteer yourself, your services, your skills to a building site and learn how it works behind the scenes. Because I think it's valuable when you show that you've got some all-rounded experience, because you can learn anything if you spend enough time. With regards to specific skills, though, because we've touched on that too, for my industry, it would probably be the technical skills of CAD. I taught myself
What's CAD.
So computer-aided design is the techniques, it's the way you do the drawings. Yeah. So I taught myself that many, many years ago. And if you just spend some time working on the software, you can teach yourself. And that's good to know, because then you've got some technical skill. Put that with a bit of enthusiasm and drive, and you can be a great asset to any company.
Very interesting that, because from a recruitment perspective, I know that CAD skills are in high demand, not just in interior design, but in
engineering, architecture, yeah. So many.
And what about qualifications? I mean, if people decide that they do want to go to university, for example, what qualification would you suggest?
I think steer yourself towards a good qualification in interior architecture, because that's a new coined word of late. Because when I started in this industry, there was an interior decorator and there was an architect. But now an interior architect is somebody who learns how to work on CAD, to be able to do those structural internal changes. It's not as detailed as an architect who will go on to study for many, many years, but it certainly will show you how to do the structural internal changes. So I think that would be good, an interior architectural qualification. And I'm aware that Nottingham Trent is a good university for that, because we've actually taken in apprentices or students doing an apprenticeship from there, and they're so well qualified. They make excellent employees.
That's brilliant advice. And also, there will be individuals that maybe feel that, they for whatever reason are not going to acquire the technical skills, but maybe they are very creative and they. Yeah. You mentioned about florists fashion. And fashion. Mm. So would people be able to sidestep from that type of industry?
I wouldn't even say 100%. I'd say 200% yes, because all you need is a bit of creative flair, and you need to have confidence in what you're selling to your client. If you put a scheme together, you just need to speak it through with confidence. So the same as what you'd apply to many other industries and sectors. If you're a florist, you're putting beautiful arrangements together that look stunning, that you believe are beautiful. If you're working in sales, if you're in retail and you're putting displays together on shop windows to attract customers into the shop, you're already looking at something visually beautiful, and you have that skill already. So I think that, again, it's all about just having confidence in yourself and some enthusiasm. But what I'd also want to say, Angela, is that this is a very good field where you can have your second, third, fourth, fifth, tenth career and make a success of it. I changed careers to come into this. And, you know, often if you've worked in the city or you've worked in another field, you have some great skills. Mm. You know who you are. You know what you want. You're confident. You've got done administration. You've had goals and targets. Now the rest of it can fall into place for you. So this is a great industry to tap into from another career.
What are the sort of the softer skills, if you like, the generic skills that make you able to, you know, make that step and that change?
I think that you need to understand people's needs. You need to be able to communicate with people with confidence. Don't be afraid to converse, to speak, to ask for things, to just know how to write emails and communicate, whether it be verbal, written. In terms of goals, I think you always have to have a mental marker. You always have to decide what you want to do and put a marker in the sand or visually or mentally and go, this is what I want, and then strive to achieve that.
So on, what do you mean by mental markers?
For me, the most dramatic part of my entire career is the mental markers.
I'm fascinated by this because obviously I talk a lot about goals, but mental markers is not something I've...
Actually, I remember telling my nephew this. You have to have mental markers because he's working his way in the world of accountancy. But when I always wanted to have my own business. But as we move through the trajectory of that, for example, when I came to London, I put very specific timing. I chose that I wanted to work at a company called Head & Green, and I gave myself a year. And like I said, 3 months, I submitted my CV and got the job. When I started this business, from my dining room table, I remember saying, I need a job in 6 weeks. And I wrote it in my diary. And 6 weeks to the day, I was walking out my front door, and it was 4 o'clock, give or take a few minutes. My phone rang, and I thought to myself, I was on my way out. Should I get the phone? I thought, get the phone. I answered, and it was a client going, we would like to give you this job. And it was literally to the day. I've done that so many times in my life, and that's what I call them mental markers. So I think you have to know what you want and put that mental marker out there, whether you write it down, write yourself a letter and hide it somewhere, or do whatever you need to do, but just give yourself something to work towards. And it's pretty surprising how it comes back.
Why do you think it works?
Because I think it works because subconsciously you set a goal. Because I think we all have ideas for ourselves and the idea that we want to be this person or that person, but it's all very vast. And I don't think we really rein it in with regards to being specific. I think you have to be specific about what you want.
That's fascinating. And then the other thing that you were mentioning was sort of believing it's going to happen and being prepared to take that risk.
Yeah, because I've had, you know, getting the kitchen design off job offers and going, no, this is not on par with the big picture. The big picture is the company. You've got to take that risk and go, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. And it's quite funny because there are lots of people in my life where I know they get quite nervous about money and nervous about jobs and nervous about their future. And that's never really happened to me. Like, I always know it's going to be okay. And so I think believe in yourself and take the risk, because it's so worth it. In terms of anybody that hasn't got to where they want to be is because there was a certain amount of doubt and not feeling like they can achieve it. But I think you should have a conference where you talk to people that have been successful and ask them about that exact thing. Believing and taking the risk, and everyone will say, that's the way I got there.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Well, that's a marvelous way to end, and you're an absolute living embodiment of these concepts. And you know, it's been great for me to sort of meet you a few years ago. I think it was five years ago. And to you know, sort of see how you've taken the business far and developed as a business person. It's been really inspiring. And thank you so much for spending the time here today.
It's been awesome here.
And I'm sure that you can have lots of people now who want to ask you questions. So if they do, where would they be best to go to contact you, Ros?
I think best on our website, which is www.roslandwilsondesign.com, and otherwise Instagram is also, our handle is @roswilsondesign.
Okay, fabulous. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast and found it useful, you can get more of the same no matter where you are in your career. If you're looking for your first job, there's my book, How to Get Your First Job and Build the Career You Want, available on Amazon. Or if you prefer face-to-face, my company Middleton Murray provides courses to prep you for your new career and then place you into a job. Alternatively, if you prefer online, try my online program, Your Body Means Business, which is more holistic and provides a complete blueprint on how to advance your career, whether you're employed or running your own business, by upgrading your physical and mental fitness and following a complete business blueprint guaranteed for success. That program, I think, is my best yet. So in summary, no matter where you are in your career, starting out, starting again, or just wanting more, we can help. Follow me on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest, where I post daily at Angela Middleton. And subscribe to this channel, as well as my Limitless vlog on YouTube, where you'll see weekly vlogs full of hints and tips for enhanced careers performance. And share this with your friends as well if you think it will help them. Thanks so much for listening.